blue plus yellow. There is another girl too, his girlfriend, away on a placement year in the States. He speaks to her sometimes quietly from the other room. Amelia, she also paints. Claire doesn't know much more than this because she doesn't want to ask. When the phone rings late at night, it's her. When it rings and she looks at the clock, then it's her, it's her, it's always her. He goes through to the back. He answers. Claire's on his bed. All she can hear is the low, warm hum of his voice. Sometimes they'll talk for an hour. She arranges her limbs carefully beneath the covers. Framed in the dress mirror, her eyes are dark holes in the porcelain moon of her face. She sees herself done in thick oils, a violent white swirl, pricked twice with black, dot, dot, and a bitten red dash for the mouth. On the walls are paintings, a view from the window, a white chair propped against a desk. She looks at it enviously. She places herself in it with her hair more curling than it is, and with sunlight caught in the black. Her shoulders curve in fine glistening points. I love her too, you know, he told her. I know, said Claire, as casually as she could. She understood the situation. She knew what she was getting herself into. It's not like we're going to get married or anything, she'd said. And then she forgot about it, pushed it beneath the surface. Only every day it comes up like a boy. Claire's half asleep when he finishes. He stands at the foot of the bed, looking. She can feel him there. He pushes off his jeans, crawls under the covers, and leans over her, kissing her neck as she curls like a rabbit towards the wall. Hey, he whispers, you still awake? He kisses her neck, her hair catching in his stubble as he pulls away to get comfortable. Who was that calling, she wants to ask. She wants to hear him say the name. It's already ringing in her head anyway. Amelia, Amelia, Amelia. He might as well say it. He drapes his arm across her waist, shuffles up behind her, and she can feel his dick touch her buttock. It's hard. She loves him. She keeps her eyes closed and pretends she's asleep. Then she is. Drinks with her ex-university friends, Kate and Simon. George is painting me. Really? They don't know what else to say. In the toilet, she goes on to Kate about Amelia over and over. He was on the phone for an hour. I don't know what to do. It should just be me. Simon hears the other stuff. George has some work accepted for an exhibition. George sold another one last week. How's the writing, they ask, but she doesn't listen. They're inching away from her, turning themselves into acquaintances across the table. They are bored. George is painting me, she says. How can you love two people, she thinks at work, drawing cubes on the till receipt. How can love divide itself? She thinks of it as something uncontainable, something that can't be sectioned off. His love for her and his love for her, how can they differ? She thinks of oil paints in thick, broken tubes. If his love for her is blue and his love for Amelia is yellow, then there is just green. I can't change him, this she knows. All I can be is myself, and if I'm not enough, then I'm not enough. I can't ask. I knew what I was letting myself in for. The lights are bright and cold above. There is dust on the shelves. An old man puts a tray of watercolors and a brush down slowly on the counter. Without him, there's just this. In his studio, she creeps up to the easel. He's out buying things for dinner. Only a hand and a wrist so far. He's washed the background a pale olive. She looks at her own hand, turns it in the light, bends her fingers into the same position. Her skin is paler, very slightly paler. The paint hand has a freckle on it just above the index. Its nails are bitten. Claire goes over to his oils. She wonders what he'd say if he caught her unscrewing the cap off the black. It's caked on. She has to hold it between her knees, and when she gets the top open, it's left marks on her jeans. She dabs her fingers in and carefully places the dot in the same place just above her left index. She's changed into her work skirt by the time he returns. He doesn't seem to notice. The kettle's on, pasta and red wine for my beautiful girl. She presses herself against him, enjoying making it awkward for him to stir. She bites his ear and he laughs and pushes her away. After dinner, they sit on the sofa. "Stop that," he says, pulling her fingers from her mouth, a nail caught between her teeth. Amelia called again. "I don't know what to do. It's eating me up." "What? What's up?" Kate has just answered the phone. She was going to sleep. "I feel sick. I know I shouldn't go on about it, but I don't know what to do. I can't bear to think what will happen in September. We've been over this. I don't know what else you want me to say. I'm afraid to ask him what's going to happen. I don't think I'm changing a thing. I was sleeping. It's late. She calls every other day." Kate hangs up on her. Now there are two hands, two arms, a body and a neck. Everything except the head. Claire's been watching it grow gradually and arranging herself next to it whenever she gets the chance, whenever he goes out. I'm thinner in the painting. My breasts are very slightly bigger. The nipples are dark. If only there was a mirror in the studio. In his bedroom while he's washing, she stands in front of the long dress mirror and pulls off her sleeping shirt. She pinches her nipples again and again until they darken and smart. "Do you have any photos of her?" she asks once they're in bed. "Of who?" he mumbles, almost asleep. She can't say the name out loud. She tries, but she can't. She thinks she saw one once in one of his drawers. The girl had blonde hair and a tan. It's hard to remember. She only saw it for a second as he was getting out a key. His breathing deepens. It comes in slow, broken brushes against her neck. "Come over," he says. "I want to show you something." He's smiling as he opens the door. He is wearing a shirt, not a painting shirt, a smart black one, and clean shaven. He takes her through to the studio. She remembers a time at school when she was told in advance about an award they were giving her. It was supposed to be a surprise, but someone let it slip, so she had to stand up in front of a hall full of people and feign shock and happiness. "I've finished it," he says as she walks around to look. "What do you think?" "It is a painting of a girl framed in green. The girl has dark blue eyes and light brown hair." "Claire?" She's crying. "What is it?" "Fucker." "What?" "You heard me." She sits on the floor and sobs into her knees. He crouches down and puts his arm awkwardly across her shoulders. Did he think it was you?" He's whispering. She doesn't answer. "I'll do one of you next. I'm sorry, I'll paint you next. You should have said. Silly." He brushes the hair out of her face, tries to kiss her on the ear, but she pulls away. Later, she's calmed down. He cooks. They go to bed with the food still sitting on their stomachs. It's so early he's had to draw the curtains against the blue. "I'm sorry," he whispers again. The wall has a postcard tacked to it, a painting of a window with the curtains drawn. She stares at it and doesn't answer. Just after one, they both wake. The phone is ringing in the back. "Stay here," she wants to say. "Don't answer." He gets up and she watches him walk through in his boxers. She hears him speaking. A digital alarm clock sits on the table next to the bed. He talks from 106 to 214. Hearing him come back, she turns to the wall and draws her knees to her chest, arranging herself asleep. "You awake?" he whispers once he's climbed in behind her. "Yes," she says after a pause. She needs to talk to someone. She needs to be hugged. So she turns and puts her arms around him and holds him as tight as she can.